is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
And we have returned to Monday Night Talk. Joining us right now is the managing news editor of our fabulous news department, Christine James. And she will be part of Political Central tomorrow night, starting at
7 o'clock. We go on to our pregame show. I'll be in here with John Creed, our statistician, and a whole posse of local politicos, Republicans, and Democrats.
Wow.
Bringing you every exciting moment. Our reporters out in the field, reporters at Town Hall. We've got Steve Burns in Mission Control there, coordinating everything in studio. And he's got a few helpers as well. It's a busy night for us here on election nights.
But you have a good man in Mr. Burns.
Very good. I always trust a redhead. That's all we hire in the newsroom. The last five hires have all been redheads. I know we're profiling. It seems to work.
Yeah.
What can I tell you?
And anybody who's a cat person can't be that bad either.
That's
right.
And he does have a very good-looking cat.
Yes, Sebastian.
That's right.
Sebastian's getting some airtime. And you're having a small staple of Monday Night Talk.
That's right. We've got a
Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
Ed Miller and Craig Bean. I love it. And you guys, because you're so diametrically opposed to everything. It's good radio.
Don't worry about it. I'll knock him out again.
Okay. He's listening. He's probably driving here right now. But it's good. We've got Sam Sutter, the Bristol DA, is coming in. Got Tim Cruz, Plymouth County DA.
Wow.
We've got Dan Pallotta, who I love to fight with all the time anyway.
Christine, what are you talking about?
Pretty much. So I called him a land shark last week, and he seemed to like that. We've got him coming in. Tom O'Brien's going to stop by as well. Dr. Michael Krzanek from Bridgewater State.
Oh, yeah.
So we've got lots of people. So, and there's, I always tell politicians, if you don't have anybody opposing you, you are welcome to stop by. I just want to make sure I didn't. And D.A. Mattel, too, from the Duxbury Clipper, long-time
political.
So we've got a good crew coming out.
What do you feel will be the races that you'll be following intensely?
You think the ones with that will be here the latest for? Definitely,
yeah.
The 9th Congressional District, the four Republicans, definitely. I'm not quite sure what's going to happen there. First Plymouth District, between the write-in candidate and
John Mahoney and
Stephen Michael Palmer, because it always takes longer when you have a write-in or a sticker candidate. And the same thing may happen, too, in Coulter's District, the 12th Plymouth District, because you've got the three now, two Republicans and one Democrat, being written in on that other side, and that always takes time.
How about the bigger races? Are you expecting early returns on like the gubernatorial?
Gubernatorial probably nods. Earlier than the AG race, which we are also covering. I guess the one that the least interest is being generated. I feel bad for the three Democrats, Lieutenant Governor. If I stop people in the street and ask them who the three candidates were, I think people would be hard pressed to tell you who's running. Well, but I think that's
after Tim Murray's disappearing. Act, you got to kind of ask if the lieutenant governor's. That's I think a key question that's been asked in a lot of the forums. Is do we even need a lieutenant governor
anymore? I showed up here tonight and I read down the list. That's the first I've seen their names.
But what persuasion are you again?
Attorney General's race, that's where a lot of excitement's being generated.
Between Warren
be
Tolman and Warren Healy, yep.
And then, of course, you've got all the people running for register of probate. You've got two Democrats and, two Democrats, three Republicans. That's going to be an interesting race.
Well, you look, there's, you've got
Matt McDonough and Arnie, Matt McDonough and Mark Lindy running for the Democrat, and then Tony O'Brien, Andy Burbine, and Joe Truschelli running on the Republican side. So that's going to be an interesting race, too.
Why is that so contested? I don't understand what the probate...
Open seat.
Well, I can give you all the philosophical reasons, but it's an open seat. It's a county job. It's a six-year term, $130,000 a year, with probably a $20,000 or $30,000 benefit package.
Hey, Dad.
Ding, 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 ding.
$130,000
a year.
That?
That's it.
Listen, please don't send me angry emails and phone calls. We went through this during the debate.
All right, sorry.
But that's another... I mean, you look at all the open seats, governor, lieutenant governor,
a good opportunity to get some fresh
attorney
blood
general.
In there.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You mentioned registered probate and the race that I'll be covering, the 10th
Plymouth
District.
You've got a lot of people running there. Three Democrats.
Yep.
You know all these people. You've been covering them for a long time. Paul Beckner, Peggy Curtis, Michelle Dubois.
Yep.
And then with the Republicans, you've got John Cruz, who has been in that seat before. And you've got Colleen Maloney, very well-spoken young woman. I still can't believe she's only 25.
Mm. Well, I technically don't know if you want to call Paul Beckner a Democrat. He's kind of a seesaw Republican.
He He can never be called a Republican. He talks a conservative game, but he's always got these videos with a picture of JFK behind him. There's no way anyone could call him a Republican.
Well, I don't know what to say to that.
That was editorial comment. Meanwhile, in the 5th Plymouth District, that's an interesting race. That's Hanover, Rockland, and Norwell. You've got two Republicans, Dave DeCoste and Lou Valenzuela, both vying for the spot on the ballot to run against Rhonda Nyman in the general election.
And we had them in here doing a political forum, and both of them, I mean, good candidates.
Mm-hmm, very good candidates.
So it's
one's a current selectman, one's a former selectman. They both have business experience, so going to be interesting to see how that race turns out.
When would you think that you'll start seeing returns? 8:30, 9 o'clock to be safe.
Definitely, but with the towns where there's write-in candidates or sticker candidates, that always turns in. And I wouldn't make any predictions, but it's always a town in some of these races that you never thought. Uh-oh, here they go again, counting by hand. If you remember last time in that Republican congressional primary several years ago, how many days did that drag on,
I was
Joe?
Directly involved in that, and that was...
Four or five days?
It was.
Was it a week?
It was weeks.
Yeah,
plural,
and it changed back and forth.
It changed back and forth.
Wasn't there a 70-vote difference at one point, then it went the other way?
Yeah,
that was...
it was weeks.
Yeah, we kept trying to figure out, gee, I wonder who the person's going to be.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, so who knows? I'm not staying here, and they're not holding me for weeks until they decide. we'll try to bring you we'll bring you the answers just as soon as we have it. We've got town clerks waiting. We've got reporters out there, but we will bring you everything just as soon as we have that information.
Well, we thank you for joining us for a couple of minutes and talking about some of the coverage that will be put out there by probably one of the few on the South Shore, probably.
Should be a good night. In fact, I even roped into helping us with coverage while they're setting up their new studio, Jonathan Grabowski, who is the executive director of Marshfield Community Television, going to be covering a candidate for us.
Oh, nice.
So it's good. Like I said, we grab people.
The tentacles, they're out there. The news tentacles.
Can I have a Dunkin' Munchkin as my parting gift?
Yes, there's actually pumpkin. There's pumpkin, chocolate, jelly, and glazed.
Oh, I'll have to tell the young man in the newsroom.
Yeah, there's pumpkin in there. Be careful, because I'm not sure if Craig Pina might have already.
Did you bring these in? Thank you.
No, Kevin did, but but
you're
Craig was.
You're referring to yourself in the third person.
Oh, I'm practicing. I'm trying to show Tom Calta how to do it.
I've switched to healthy donuts. I was in town at the Boston Common Coffee Company the other day, and I had a
some tofu loaf.
Is that a plug?
I had a vegan blueberry lemongrass donut. Guess what? It was a donut.
Really? And now you're a folk singer.
Getting right.
Was it gluten-free?
Was it fair trade? Thank you.
Thank you, Christine.
Thank you.
Christine James, managing news editor for 95.9.
Thank you for my complimentary pen.
You're welcome.
From Tiny and Sons, and along with the nail files and the paper.
You're my idol.
Thank you very much.
So, folks, let's get right down to taking a look at some of the races that we have here. As I said, coming up at 7 o'clock, we will hear from Dave Wedge, who is formerly of the Boston Herald, now has become an author. Also somebody who, I believe he's a consultant for Warren Tolman and Martha Coakley.
Nice.
I want to make sure we put that little disclaimer out there. Uh-huh. So if he sounds a little bit of a push for those two campaigns, it's with good reason. But he's also a great news guy, so we're looking forward to talking with him. Where do we want to start, gang? Where would you like to start? Because I want to do a little fun thing here. Well, we're going to do a little fun thing here.
Okay.
And what we'll do is, whether you know the races or not, we could decide it here. Because we actually have five here.
Okay.
And kind of give you a reason as to whether you know the races or not. You feel free to vote for a particular. Yep, that's for you, Mr. Pina. We'll go around again. We have Peter Brown, Tiny and Sons.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. Victoria Bond, who is a co-host on her own radio show.
Mm-hmm.
Heard on 1530 AM WVBF every Thursday. Name of the show is?
People Before Party.
People Before Party. Just for those fans out there. And Craig Pina, who former Republican city committee chair, now just Republican.
I'm just a loudmouth, that's all.
Easy now. And, of course, Joe Rossi. Do we want to kind of start out with the gubernatorial race? and get your thoughts on it.
I want to start out with the if you don't mind, the informal poll that I did this afternoon.
Yeah, so I'd love to hear the
I just
how did you do the
I walked
the poll?
Through downtown Middleboro and I stopped 10 people and asked them who they would be voting for tomorrow. Mm. Horrifyingly, 6 people went, "What?
Yeah.
There's an election tomorrow? What?" 6.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
Well, no, I did mention I'm from Middleboro. No knocks, but...
Hey, my brother lives in Middleboro.
There's a...
Insert Middleboro into any Maine joke?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I think you can. I'm just horrified at the lack of attention this whole primary has been receiving.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know.
You know what? You know, I think the candidates on the Republican side is pretty... clear. Mark Fisher might get 10 or 12 votes total. And the Democrats are pretty uninteresting. They're not exciting. Martha Coakley already had it. She had a double-digit lead. She's already lost it. Mm-hmm. Not exciting at all.
Yeah. There just seems like there's a profound lack of interest. And I don't know if that's indicative of just where we are in terms of our psyche and our government. I tend to think, yeah, that's pretty much what it's about. We're all fed up and sick of it, and doesn't really seem like there's a whole lot of hope out there.
It's
not to be
like
a cynic,
everybody has just toned it out, because I personally, looking at some of these names, like, who's Don Berwick?
I know. It's true.
You know, and it's just...
You haven't seen a ton of advertising about it either. I don't see a lot of money being spent on ads. I mean, I've gotten a few phone calls at my house, but that's about it.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's funny. I think a lot of what happens at the state and local level is influenced by what's happening at the national level, where we see the bickering and the arguments all the time, and people do go, well, I don't want to hear anything about that, so they tune everything down politically. But you know what's interesting is my grandparents live in New Hampshire, so I went up there. I've been up there a couple times within the last week. And the amount of, you know, here, you're right, I haven't seen a lot of ads, I haven't seen a lot of mailers, I haven't even gotten, I don't think, any phone calls. Up there, they are getting 5 mailers a day, they're getting 10 phone calls a day,
really?
They're getting TV ads, every other commercial for candidates up there. It is full-blown political season up there. It's out of control. I mean, it's how I used to remember it down here, like, for really heavy campaigns.
The attack ads against Scott Brown, you can hear them on the Boston radio stations.
Yeah. Right.
They're playing those.
Well, you can see it on the TV stations as well, where they're really attacking him for being just a, you know, Massachusetts, you know, guy who failed to get reelected and is now trying to be Massachusetts' third U.S. senator.
Can you blame him, though? I mean, that's exactly what he did do.
just
sort
to put it out there.
Stating the obvious, aren't they?
So we did put it out there if folks want to call in, even if you're a candidate, if you want to come on just for a moment or two. And I believe we have somebody, Larry is giving me the sign that we have somebody on the line. Who do we have joining us? Hello? All right, well, I guess not. Well, we'll put the number out there if you're a candidate who wants to, or somebody who wants to just give you 2 cents. And again, we don't want any filibustering, but you know, we want to share your thoughts on tomorrow's election. Feel free to do so. 781-837-4900 is the number. So, with the other four people, did they give you, when you were doing that poll in downtown Middleboro, did they give you a candidate or choices?
No, most of the four people that were aware that there is in fact a primary happening tomorrow, two were Republican, so they're all squared away, know exactly what they're doing.
But do they? Because you got Mark Fisher and Charles.
It is Middleboro. They might be voting for Mark Fisher. They might be two of his 12.
You know,
votes.
Middleboro does have a history of doing things like that, not for nothing. Ross Perot, Middleboro's hero.
Can I talk here? I got something to say.
And the other two were Democrats who weren't quite sure what they were going to do.
Okay.
So.
Well, we might have somebody coming. I see Larry on the phone, so we just want to make sure we're all set before I move forward here. Ah, somebody who seems familiar. I don't know if this individual is somebody that you might have talked to during your polling. I believe we have Adam from Middleboro joining us.
Yeah, he's the one person I forgot to ask.
Really? Adam, are you there?
Yes, and my opinion means no more while you're on the air than it does off the air.
Oh, good. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing all right. I just wanted to talk about something with the lack of interest.
Okay.
And I've been receiving a bunch of phone calls that are basically Martha Coakley calls.
Mm-hmm.
The Democrats are out there. They're pushing. None of these candidates have any interest. None of these candidates have any soul. None of these candidates have anything that makes them stand out as anything more than the hacks that they hope to be or that they are. And I think one of the things that's making everybody sort of sit there and go, who cares, is because it's the same old lot. Trying to get the same old pensions, trying to get the same old incomes, telling you what they think you want to hear, and then going in and doing whatever it is that the establishment has already set up as their required performance in order to be chairmen of committees or to be placed on committees to get the extra stipends, etc.
Okay.
So that's my cynical view as to why nobody really cares, because no one has really come out to have any sort of a platform that is exciting, invigorating, or inspiring.
Now, do you have a particular candidate, any candidates that you're following that you're hoping will do well?
That I'm hoping will do well? No, I have one particular candidate that I'm hoping will, again, fall on her face.
Oh,
okay. We know who that is.
Interesting.
Yes, I've followed Martha Coakley, both in her hiring practices and in her politics. I find both of them to be pathetic. I find the fact that she couldn't find any way of doing anything with the probation scandal on her own, and Carmen Ortiz had to do it, to be absolutely telling in the type of person she is. I find the fact that she went after the former treasurer because of political payback and then couldn't even win that to be very, very telling of her type of practice. And I find her to be someone that I would vote against if Genghis Khan were running on the Republican ticket. I would probably vote for him before I would vote for Martha Coakley, because I would hope at least there'd be economic improvement.
I think Genghis might go for the Green Party personally, but I could be wrong.
But I'm sorry, I'm blunt.
Okay.
It's the same thing I would say any other time, but I'm curious as to your people there as to what positive qualities they think could possibly be brought to bear to the corner office. By having Martha Coakley occupy it.
Okay.
Well, we would say any other person.
We will discuss that. We get the phone lines are burning up. We actually got two callers behind you, but thank you, Adam.
Bye.
Let's go to Frank in Plymouth. Frank, are you there?
Yeah, I wasn't going to comment on Coakley, but after listening to that other gentleman, I will. I hope she loses. I think that she will make Deval Patrick look great. One thing I would like you to ask your House of Representative candidates when you interview them tonight, only if you think it's appropriate, do they feel as though there should be a change in the speakership?
Ooh, okay.
And I'd like you to ask that particularly to your Democrats. I think there should be a change in the speakership, particularly after what the U.S. attorney divulged, that he is an unindicted co-conspirator. I asked a woman yesterday that's running up in the Dorchester Mattapan district for the House rep seat, and she did a dance around it. She said, well, I'll have to sit down and talk to Bob DeLeo. Well, it's either a yes or a no answer.
Yeah.
But I find that most of these candidates, and I've called down at the Taunton station too, most of these candidates, they won't give you a yes or a no answer, but maybe you could try, Kevin.
Okay. Well, thank you, Frank.
Okay, thanks.
Well, they're not going to give you a yes or no answer because they all want their committee chairmanships. They want their assistant chairmanships.
Well, they're going to do the dance.
They want their extra money.
They're going to do the dance.
It's interesting that he was called an unindicted co-conspirator. That would break the record for speakers of the House.
There would be four speakers in a row.
Yeah. I mean,
so we'll see what happens.
He's breaking the chain here.
Things might be pending. Now, we actually have yet another call, and I believe we have Mr. Bradford Randall on the line. Bradford, are you there?
I'm here. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, sir?
I'm good, as long as you can hear me crystal clear.
We can hear you crystal clear. You have a couple of moments to speak.
Sure.
Now, from what I understand, you're part of a write-in campaign for the 12th Plymouth District, correct?
As far as I know, it's the only three-way write-in campaign in the state. So, yeah. I blew up the district by running.
Okay. Well, how do you feel? I mean, we had a gentleman who was on here earlier who is trying to mobilize fellow Republicans to write in Tom Calder. How do you feel about that?
So I'll tell you right now, the whole campaign that we've been running, and I was the first to announce my intentions back in May, this whole campaign has been about giving the district a choice, keeping our democracy healthy, and having a ballot in November where it says Tom versus Tom. I mean, I'm talking about Coulter, Tom Coulter versus Tom Coulter, because he's running against me for the Republican nomination as a write-in. That does all of us a disservice. I mean, we wanted to have a discussion about the siege on our property rights in the district, about an increase in our property taxes while our property values are going down, and we wanted to talk about unfunded state mandates. I think the district deserves that discussion before Tom Coulter went into his fifth term and serves 10 years as our representative, which would be longer than our first president, who decided to walk away because he believed in term limits. I think as a Republican, I'm offended at the effort going on to give Tom Coulter a free ride to 10 years in office. I think that's not fair. I think that's disingenuous to the voters.
If I could chime in, because I do recall interviewing Tom Coulter a long time ago, and it was the first time that he was running, and he said at that time it would be his only time that he would run.
He said he would serve one term?
One term.
Okay.
Yeah, well, we're that times five now if he wins the nomination tomorrow.
Bradford, question for you.
Sure.
What happened to the effort to get on the ballot yourself? Why are you late in the game doing a write-in?
Well, I got an answer for you. I was a reporter, so I'm a journalist. I went to St. Bonaventure University, left to do journalism, and I started my own business, KingstonJournal.com. I reported on town government for about 2 years, and then I got a job at the Nashua Telegraph, the second largest newspaper in New Hampshire. And I was listening to your conversation on New Hampshire, and you're right. There's a huge difference between the amount of interest in New Hampshire and Massachusetts. Some of that has to do with the money being spent. But in New Hampshire, it's kind of like, you know, you get to meet every single political candidate, every single presidential candidate that comes through your town. So they're pretty used to it. But I didn't get on the ballot because I didn't know that our district was going to have no Republican opposition this time around. And when I found that out, it was May. It was too late to get on the ballot. So I left my job and I stepped forward and I decided, hey, I'm gonna represent my party.
Okay. Well, we wish you the best of luck. Anything you want to say in closing?
How about this? I need Republicans to go down to the polls tomorrow, and I need you to take out a Republican ballot, and if you're an independent, you can take a Republican ballot as well. We need you to write Bradford Randall in for state representative. It's going to appear on the ballot as representative in general court. We need to give this district a choice, the 12th Plymouth District. We deserve a discussion.
Okay. Thank you very much for calling, Bradford.
No problem.
And joining us on the line, looks like we've got a little bit of a discussion going on here. We have Peter Bonacek. Peter, are you there?
Bonacek,
I apologize. How are you?
That's okay. Good. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. You have a moment if you want to kind of speak to the situation.
Oh, most definitely. That's why I called. And I was actually on my way down, so I figured I'd stop and call as long as my cell phone doesn't mess up.
Okay. So what would you like to say?
Well, this is what I'm trying to get people away from, the games of politics. To me, this is nothing but a big game. You get one person telling that he does things, he has done things, and he hasn't. He has no political experience whatsoever. And the lies and the games is what I'm tired of.
Who are you speaking about?
Bradford Randall.
Okay.
Has no political experience whatsoever. He's never been elected. He's never been appointed. He's never ran for office.
Well, I don't think that in itself disqualifies him from holding the position.
There's a number of people running who've never held office before.
I'd like to hear why people should vote for you as opposed to him.
Good. I'd like that.
Okay. I'm sorry I could barely hear that. But the reasons, not only that, and that's not the only reason why you shouldn't vote for the person, for Bradford. Okay. Bradford doesn't have any life experience. He lives at home. Okay, he does not have a job.
But hold on. What does it have to do with why people should elect you or why people should write you in tomorrow?
Okay, my experience is I'm a 56-year-old man who has three children, four grandchildren. I've been involved in towns I lived in. 28 years in Halifax. I was a special police officer. I was elected constable for 2 years.
Okay.
I lived in Plymouth for 14 years where I was part of the baseball coach. I was more involved with my kids at the time. For the past 8 years in Kingston, I have served. I am right now the I'm the chairman of the Permanent Building Committee.
Okay.
I am on the Capital Planning Committee. I am on the Town Government Implementation Committee. I have served on the Audit Committee. I've served on Wage and Personnel. I've served on the GATRA Advisory Board. I have run for a couple of offices in town without success, but I'm a person who's out there who has experience. I know what it's like to have a mortgage and try to bring up a child and pay for their food and pay my taxes. You know, Bradford talks about how he has to pay. He was talking earlier on this this morning about how the income tax should be paid. He doesn't work.
Okay. Well, listen, I have one more caller before the top of the hour, so I need you to wrap it up and give folks a reason, tell them what to do when they go to the polls tomorrow.
Well, the reason, one of the other things I'm concerned about is the writing they're going to try to do for Tom Cobb, because it's not giving the people the choice. He's basically going to stifle people from coming up. Either Bradford or myself, if we did get our write-ins, we'd be able to talk about the subjects of illegal immigration, about Common Core, about the Second Amendment. Tom gets voted in, which I think is wrong. I think it's unethical, and I think it's wrong. But that will not give the choice to be able to have a good, solid debate.
Okay.
So I would like to have people write my name in, Peter Bonsack, for the Republican, for the general representative in general court tomorrow.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for calling in, Peter. We definitely appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
You got it. And we're going to turn our attention to another caller. I believe we have Mr. Paul Keenan joining us. Paul, how are you?
I'm good, Kevin. How are you?
Oh, and you know, it's we need somebody to kind of lighten the mood up a little bit here.
Yeah, you know, I would like for you to write me in. One of the first rules I will make is shut up and not pick fun of people that still live at home.
Okay.
That was me up until a little while ago.
Okay. Talk to us.
That's my political platform.
All right. Well, Paul is actually a comedian who actually is going to be part of a fantastic event that's going to be taking place Saturday, September 13th at the Emerald Hall, 30 Central Street in Abington. Music and comedy night to benefit the Wounded Warrior Project. Who's going to be on this besides a top headliner like yourself?
Well, we'll have two other comedians, Tom Cotter and Mike Murray, out of the Rhode Island, Providence, Rhode Island scene, very funny comic. And Morgan Deplich from American Idol will actually be playing a few tunes as well.
You can't go wrong there.
Absolutely not.
So if folks want to find out more information, also, is there going to be anything else going on other than live entertainment?
There'll be some raffles and I guess some trivia. I guess there's going to be some food. It's going to be an all-out night of entertainment. It should be pretty good.
$7.30, $25 per person. I guess it includes appetizers and a full night of entertainment with Paul Keenan, who actually wants you to write him in on the ballot tomorrow.
No, yes, kidding. I'll be announcing my campaign tomorrow. I'm going to call back in.
If folks want tickets, 508-259-0528. Anything else you want to say in closing, Paul?
Yeah, just, you know, it's for a great cause. I don't think we do enough for our veterans. These guys have gone overseas. Some of them will come back really messed up, not only physically with losing limbs and stuff, but psychologically. Mm. And I don't think we do enough for them when they get back here. So this is kind of a way that we can give back to these guys for the commitment and loss that they suffered for us. So I think it's a really great cause, and I would really love for people to come out. And when you come out, just tell them I sent you.
Well said, Paul. Well, I couldn't have said it any better myself.
Well, of course you could.
There he is, Paul Keenan. Thank you, Paul, for calling.
Thank you, Kevin.
You got it. We're going to step aside for the top of the hour, but when we come back, we're going to talk about politics here on Monday Night Talk. Don't go anywhere.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.